This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Learn more by going to MyCityRides.org. That's MyCityRides.org.
You can always count on Miller High Life, the champagne of beers. Always crisp, always easy drinking, always just right. You got the time. Perfect balance of flavor and refreshment since 1903. Welcome to the High Life. The 2019 Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Celebrate responsibly.
Tuesdays are the worst. They're all that stands between you and the downhill part of the week. But now they're a lot less worse, because Wing Tuesdays at B-Dubs are buy one, get one free traditional wings. So Monday, you may kick off the week. Wednesday, you may have a cool nickname. Thursday, you might be the almost weekend. But watch your back, because Tuesdays just officially became Wing Tuesdays. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
Buy one traditional wings order and get one of equal value free. Participation and promotional details vary by location. Check in with your favorite Buffalo Wild Wings to learn more about this offer.
Feeling cramped in your current home? Orion's team of mortgage experts know how to make your home buying process simple. Visit OrionFCU.com and get moving today. Orion is an equal housing lender.
Jason and John Guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness, this is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Lunchtime, why don't you get some Wing Guru in that system? That's what you want to be eating on. The best chicken wings in town. Party hole, boneless, however you like your wings. Billy Richmond going to serve them to you. He's going to serve them to you right with the best premium flavors in this fine country. Ain't that right, John?
It is so right. You ain't never lied about the Wing Guru, Jason. It is the best in the city. Right, it is the best in the country. It is the best in this world, Jason. It is the best in this universe. What makes it that, though? It's those premium flavors.
Mad
it's
science.
The honey suicide. It's the garlic sriracha, the 901, the Nashville hot. Sweet dreams are made of Wing Guru premium flavors.
Yes, they are. Billy dreamed up giving you the best wing, and that dream has come to fruition. Get over there, 5699 Mount Moriah, 7199 Stage Road. You're going to get the same great chicken at both. And, again, if you'd like something else, get your gourmet burger. He's got the best in town. Try it. Everything over there is fantastic. When you see Billy Richmond, you please tell him that Jason and John sent you.
Okay, so here's the deal. I don't know where those names went, but they just disappeared, unfortunately. But we want to congratulate all of our callers who called in and you know who got a chance to win the shirts.
They're on Twitter now. I just listed them: D. Chuck, Adam, Derek, and Steven. There
okay,
you go.
There you go. So those are the lucky five winners. Can I read you a few reviews though, Jason? Because that was part of the gig. We're giving away a few on Facebook, right? And we said you got to go like the page and you got to leave a review. I want to read you a few of the reviews that have come in so far on Facebook page. Keep them coming. We have not at all decided on who's going to get to take home a shirt from the Tiger Bookstore from Facebook. But I do want to read you a few of these, Jason, that are coming in right now. Mike says, Jason and John put on for the city. That's a recommendation.
Very nice.
Joshua says, the best and funniest show on 92.9. Jason and John have great insight on all things sports. They are hilarious as well. Extremely entertaining.
It's uncomfortable.
One of the best parts of my day.
It's uncomfortable.
This is your life.
You seem to like this, like reading. It makes me uncomfortable because, again, I just feel like they're blowing you. They want a shirt, John.
Yeah, no, I love being loved. I don't care what this. I don't care.
I can tell, man.
I don't care if it's because
they took a picture of Jason and Joe, and I'm not in it. Like we had not. Remember?
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, you like the love. You like the spotlight.
It was an interview that we both did.
And because Joe was laughing at something you said, you felt like you needed to be in the picture.
I felt like you could have just at least put your boy's name in the cut line or something here.
It's the Jason and John show. You got your name in there.
KD says, "Great show that helps me get through the midday."
That's very nice of them. So
keep them coming. It feels good to feel good. And we'll give away. I think how many do we have left?
John
seven?
Needs that, y'all.
We have seven
yeah,
left.
Yeah,
so we'll seven give left. We'll give the last seven away. We'll get the last seven away.
John, I can use part of this rundown if you want me. You know, if I need to pat you on the booty a little bit more, make
now,
you feel good
see,
about
I'm,
yourself and your life and your job.
Now the listeners are going to do that
okay,
for us.
All right.
You know, and
all
it,
right.
and it's you
okay.
too, man. And it's always nice to feel good. Don't feel guilty, man. Don't feel guilty. You don't take compliments very well.
I'm getting uncomfortable when it's to get a T-shirt.
Still, I don't give a damn.
Okay, I see.
You know, I'll take them how I can get them, man. All right, let's do the rundown.
Now, it's the rundown presented by LA Fitness. The biggest stories from Jason and John. Everything y'all need on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
Really quickly, before we get into the stories that we've got for you, I hope that later in this show you will discuss your first experience playing Texas Hold'em. Because it is absolutely hilarious. The way you if what you did is the way you described it, it is absolutely hilarious.
I went over there with a group of buddies not intending to play because, again, I don't want to get addicted to anything. You understand?
Absolutely.
I'm a very
you want to be addicted to your wife.
Yes. That's
and
it.
God.
That 100%, John. You got me nailed. You know me very well. And so I intended to go over there and be a wallflower and just say, hey, man, guys, good to stop in on you. But, John, it sucked me in.
Yes, it did.
And now I see where you're at. I got a little taste of it.
Yeah, you got a lick.
As Lance would say, a lick. I got a little lick of it, and I probably liked it too much. It's probably because we had a good crew over at Mike Sheffield's house.
That
was part of it.
That's important.
The chemistry is important, John.
It is.
We had good chemistry on Saturday. I'll tell you all about it. Won me a few hands.
I'll tell you what makes the best poker game. Are you ready? A
good
table.
Chicken wings.
A good table. Like a good table of and a mix of characters there where everybody gets along to in a certain extent.
We had that going.
But also when you win,
yeah,
I mean you could be sitting.
You're talking about a man know nothing about poker, right? Yeah.
Well, you don't know nothing.
I mean, other than what watching Norman Chad on the World Series. I mean, just watching it.
Yeah.
You know, I know the river's coming.
The river is
the turn.
Yeah, the turn comes before the river.
Yes.
Yep. And what are the first three cards called?
The flop.
There you go. Look at this guy right here.
Hey. Memphis, I'm sure, is very proud of me. Again, this is something I don't want to get too deep into, John. I'm trying to keep my feet out of that life.
You are like
you
are the black Doyle Brunson.
And so I wanted to fellowship with these good brothers because we had a good thing going over there by the U of M.
Well, speaking of poker, that's what the Raiders are playing with Antonio Brown. Because it's well chronicled by now that Antonio Brown has issues with his helmet.
I can't believe this is still a story.
I thought it was dead. I'll be honest with you. I thought it was dead. What happened is what it sounds like to me, is that that Antonio Brown filed that grievance. He had the call with the NFL.
Yeah.
They basically said, you can't wear that helmet, but if you find one that was manufactured 10 years ago or earlier, you can wear it. That's what Antonio Brown heard. What the NFL actually said and what they're contending that they said is that if you find one that was manufactured 10 years ago or earlier, we will test it.
Yeah, it's still got to pass our test.
And if it passes our tests, then you can wear it. That's where the problem is. You know, he found a couple, but the NFL is saying none of them.
They didn't pass their test.
Right. That's like the shut air advantage or something like that.
I was trying
that.
To think, what do you do to pass? What does that test look like? You pound on that thing with some machines or something? You have to send it in, John, and it comes back.
That's interesting,
Just think about that on the drive in here, what that test of that helmet looked like.
That is very interesting. Like,
because you can't damage it, obviously, but you got to see. It's got to meet some kind of criteria. I just wondered. I'd like to read a story about that, that test looks like.
He came back briefly. He went through warm-ups. I want to say he caught some passes before the Arizona game, if I'm not mistaken.
I saw him standing on the sideline. Looked like he was buddy-butt, trying to get buddy-buddy with everybody.
Then he gave a brief press conference after the game where he made it sound like, oh, why would I retire? Why would I do any of that? And then the story comes out this weekend that, yet again, he is not with the team again. And yesterday, Mike Mayock, the general manager, delivers again. I mean, it's just like stop you in your tracks. Like, you don't hear this from general managers, almost like an ultimatum. This is what happened at Raiders camp yesterday.
You all know that AB is not here today, right? So here's the bottom line. He's upset about the helmet issue. We have supported that. We appreciate that. okay? But we've, at this point, we've pretty much exhausted all avenues of relief. So from our perspective, it's time for him to be all in or all out, okay? So we're hoping he's back soon. We got 89 guys busting their tails. We are really excited about where this franchise is going, and we hope AB is going to be a big part of it starting week one against Denver. End of story. No question.
So that was Mike Mayock basically saying you're either all in like Jason over the weekend or you're all out. You're looking at me like you don't buy it.
This stuff feels like it's done for Hard Knocks, man. Like, so the reporters had no idea Mayock was about to come down.
They did not.
You think he let the Hard Knocks cameras know? I'm about to head down there and talk about Antonio Brown. I'll bet you he did. You understand what I'm saying? Like, here's the part of it I get. Marcus Spears made this point, and I think he's absolutely right. John Gruden's about to be in a spot. Because you've had him out there talking on this, right? And he's had to be the guy out there saying, I see both sides. But where it matters most for Gruden is with the other guys in that locker room in terms of keeping their respect, right? Your ability to motivate them. All that is, at some point, going to get tied into, if you allow it to, into how you treat AB. Look, we know it's a stars league and they get preferential treatment, but this has gotten to a point where it's ridiculous. You could hear Mayock say it, 89 other guys in there busting their tails. How can we continue to tell them to do that when Antonio Brown's acting an ass out here?
Right.
So here's the part that was smart for Mayock. You be the guy to go out there. Spears made the point. You play bad cop. At least it gets it off of Gruden for right now, where at least in that locker room, hopefully, he can still sort of have some right accountability, both sides. Still have Brown with him,
right,
but still have that locker room. Mayock is the guy that steps up there. So smart move. But, bro, this is starting to feel like it's trumped up for the cameras, man.
Well, it might be.
Again, the reporters had no idea Mayock was going to come down and address this Brown situation. And if we see on Hard, I bet you they got a camera behind Mayock. I bet they knew. You know what I'm saying? Some of it's starting to feel a little bit of entertainment. Let's keep this thing going as long as we can. You know, I haven't watched it. You've told me they haven't just delved all the way in.
They promised at the end of last week that they were about to really get
into it. But y'all tell me this promise is coming, and this would just give you more. You'd have the grievance with the NFL.
Yep.
Then you'd have him leaving camp again. Then you'd have Mayock coming back, Mayock coming down. I don't know. It's just starting to feel HBO to me.
Well, okay, so two things.
This should be dead by now.
Two things. One.
Y'all are a joke.
One.
You played well, though, I guess.
We did.
It's amazing.
We shut down.
The football part of it actually looks decent right now.
Well, I think that's where Mayock is. He's like, he feels good enough about the rest of the team where, you know, they don't need Antonio Brown if he's going to act like this.
At least offensively, I'll give you that.
Yeah.
That's what you look good.
Agreed. Right now, for on the HBO point, one, I promised you before the season started.
Are you tired of it as a Raiders fan?
I mean, I'm used to it. Like, this is just what it is.
You're not sighing yet? I know you knew that you get all the baggage when you sign up Antonio Brown for that production, but you aren't rolling your eyes yet as a Raiders fan?
A part of me is I'm really frustrated by the fact that, first of all, we didn't give up anything to get him. We gave up a third and a fifth. So that, like, I'm not worried about that part of it.
Sure.
But I am worried about the fact that we just had three first-round draft picks, and we have a very young team in many respects, and Antonio Brown is in this locker room carrying himself and conducting himself like a diva. That part of it, I pause that. At the same time, this is a guy who's still, to me, in his prime, a future Hall of Fame wide receiver, no question. And I'm telling myself that come week one against Denver, like when that, who were we talking to? I can't remember who it was. It was a Channing Crowder who said, come Sunday, like, AB's going to do his thing. I'm praying that is what happens.
But his point was he's a high-maintenance wife off the field.
He is. There is no question that he is. I will say, one, HBO's ratings for Hard Knocks are as good as they've been
in
a decade.
We knew it would. Everybody coming to see the circus.
Yes. So everybody has come to see the circus. And secondly, I think this will get settled. He was at practice, there wasn't a practice. They broke camp today, and Antonio Brown was there. So I'm hoping Drew Rosenhaus came on with Get Up this morning, Antonio Brown's agent, and said this is a safety issue. So they are spinning this.
It was a vision issue, seeing through your vision in the helmet, your sort of that window that you, and now it's a safety issue. Again, it's back and forth on this. Man, if I was a fan of the Raiders, I just want to focus on what's been a pretty good preseason so far for Derek Carr. This offense looks pretty sharp. Defensively, you guys have got a mountain to climb. That's where you're going to – when you have to play real teams in real season.
Agreed.
You're going to get run over.
Agreed.
But that's it. I hope Derek gets his boy back at some point, man. Sounds like it may be close to happening. We've said that about 8 times now.
Well, because this is a this is an instrumental year for Derek Carr too, because if he doesn't play well, they'll just cut him and start over at quarterback. So he needs as many weapons as he can get as possible.
How can he have the best season of his career as Lewis Riddick predicts? If Antonio doesn't get himself,
he can't. He just can't.
Who else is there to throw to?
They did sign Tyrell Williams.
Who?
Tyrell Williams.
Who's that?
He was Los Angeles home run hitter last year.
Was he on your fantasy team? Brad, no. Was he on your fantasy team?
No, he didn't get enough. There wasn't enough volume there.
So this is someone with a potential we're talking about.
No, he's a good NFL receiver.
Okay. He's your two?
He's our two, and you may also
Anthony Miller better than him.
He's hurt right now.
And Anthony Miller's my three, trying to be my two.
Who's your regular? Who's your normal two? Taylor Gabriel?
Yes.
Oh, get out of town.
Well, Anthony Miller's clearly on his way to being the two.
Taylor Gabriel.
Speedster. Proven.
We drafted Hunter Renfrow too.
Well, I put Ridley, little Riley Ridley, out there, and better than your number two, and he's a rookie for us.
I like Renfrow.
Yeah, thank you, yes. Thank you, Brad.
Yeah, he's the new Humphreys. He'll be Humphreys. He'll be the Titans. He'll be like Slot Humphreys receiver. For y'all. Yeah.
Yeah, and we didn't pay him nearly as much. He makes I think his signing bonus was $350,000.
I want to kill the Raider talk on this show. Antonio Brown won't let me.
He will not let you. But he was there today, so I know that gives you great comfort to know that AB was there today.
Any of these ratings that highest, as you correctly predicted, John, I want to give you your credit.
You.
I know you don't get enough of that
around
here. Any of that because Hard Knocks has been good? Because I haven't heard great reviews.
No, I would say it's not.
Everybody's like,
I would say it's the expectations.
Nobody's told me. You got to go see it. Get Paul up on the fire stick, Jason. Yeah. It was great. None of y'all. Brad, you bought HBO for it. Have you been let down?
I feel obligated now that I've spent the $15 a month for HBO.
Of course,
but,
you have to watch.
There's nothing else on, though. That's the other thing.
Do you look at it as a mistake?
It's early. It's early. I don't think it's a mistake
yet.
There
ain't much left, is there?
Episode 3 is absolutely huge. I mean, this is going to be the one. Where people either will stay tuned in for the rest or they'll be done. Because if episode 3 is not if episode 3 is not one of the greatest Hard Knocks episodes ever, then you should never watch it again. You should never.
Well, you've been dead on about this so far.
When will Hard Knocks ever have this material?
Again, I'm with you.
You know, this is the perfect year for them from a ratings perspective because you've got two massive markets engaged with it. You've got Oakland,
Memphis,
San Francisco. Memphis, obviously, and Las Vegas.
I can't believe you just.
Memphis is a Raider town, man. Ask about it. People been in the bushes because they're not as proud.
This is a Cowboys Steelers town.
I agree with that.
And Titans.
Raiders are in that group, man. They are. Dude, there's a bar on Winchester that they have watch parties on. Now I don't go there.
Who goes there?
Well, Raider fans.
Couple of bikers.
No, it's not. And there's a Facebook group that I'm in, Raider Nation of Memphis. Now nobody posts in that anymore. You know, because like I said, they probably became Cowboys fans. But I know they're out there. And I want y'all to know I'm with you.
Out there like roaches when you turn on the light, scattered.
That's
y'all
right.
Y'all scattered and silent.
But, hey, you know what? Like Antonio Brown, we will be back. We will be back. And if tomorrow's episode of Hard Knocks is not one of the greatest of all time, then I will have a hard time watching the series after this season because, like I said, they're just never going to have as much material as they have right now.
Next story.
All right. Did we see this this clip, Brad, I think you have the audio. John, I hope I'm not stealing from you.
No.
But I wanted to keep it on football since we're on football. Tony Pollard. It was nice, John, after a little poker, a little fellowship on Saturday night, look over at the television and see the Rams and Dallas Cowboys, two teams featuring two University of Memphis running backs, and Tony Pollard, who's obviously with the Cowboys, and yet Darrell Henderson over on the other side with the Rams. And, man, Tony Pollard keeps getting it done. 5 rushes, 42 yards. That's 8.4 yards per carry. For those of you that were non-optional in math with John, he had a 14-yard first quarter touchdown run. Also had a reception for 9 yards, showing the whole set of skills, Martin.
It's true.
And afterwards, Jerry Jones was asked about the Ezekiel Elliott situation, which continues to go on. Tony Pollard has stepped up, obviously, with Zeke gone and done well. Here's what Jerry Jones had to say.
Is Pollard your best negotiator with Zeke?
Who?
Pollard.
Zeke who?
<Don't tell. laughs> He's got your camera.
Now, there's two things about that. Number one, he said, is Pollard your best, is it leverage with Zeke? And Jerry answers it, Zeke who? The brother that answered that, that asked that question, goes into a John was I could only I could only describe as just childlike laughter.
Yeah, he was bellowing.
He was. Do you mind us hearing that one more time? I want you to listen to this and listen to how quickly this brother laughs when Mr. Jones says Zeke who.
Is Pollard your best negotiator with Zeke?
Who?
Pollard.
Zeke who.
I mean, that's that old granddaddy's been a long-time smoker. It's coming up as you laugh. You know what I mean? Those folks, they expect Zeke to clearly be back. Here's the truth of this, John. Would Jerry Jones joke at all about this if it was in any way, if you felt like the negotiations right. were in any kind of danger of falling through? I feel like no. That's what I pulled from this. Obviously, Tony Pollard's been great. We think Jones is even shine the light on him a little bit more,
yep.
considering the situation with Zeke. And he went on to say later that he'd love to see and expects to see some sets where he's got Tony Pollard in the backfield with Ezekiel Elliott. I think that's smart
yep.
because I think that any idea that any Cowboy fan right who maybe is new to seeing Tony Pollard could carry Tony could carry an Ezekiel Elliott type load. You're fooling yourself.
Yep.
Look, this guy is elusive. He's explosive. There's no question about it with Tony Pollard. But what he's not is sort of that every down back.
It's
that,
just true.
That horse, him in that role next to his complimenting Ezekiel Elliott, is absolutely perfect for this offense for Tony Pollard. So I'm actually excited to see him in that role this year. And I think you could just tell by sort of the mood, Jerry Jones being willing to joke around about that it feels like, and I know that, you know, Ezekiel's back from Cabo. You know, this thing feels like at some point it's going to get done, but I don't think Jerry would be joking about it, John, if it was in any danger of not getting done.
Well, I will say this too, though. I was
happy for Tony Pollard.
I think Jerry Jones has gotten to that age where I think every man eventually gets to where he just doesn't care anymore about how people perceive him. He doesn't care about what people think about what he says.
Oh, he cares. That man, see all that plastic surgery, that man cares.
Well, okay, maybe about his appearance. But in terms of the things that he says, he doesn't care if he offends you. He doesn't care if he offends Ezekiel. Like, that is my goal, is to live to that age. I don't know what that age exactly is, what the cutoff
is.
You think
he doesn't care if he offends Ezekiel?
Doesn't every man get to that age, though? Doesn't every man
get to an age where
they just don't give a damn what you think anymore about them?
I mean,
is it 68? What's the age? 65, 70? I don't know. You're like hell, I'm literally about to die. I don't care what you think. I'm not saying Jerry Jones is about to die, but like whatever, you know, in the grand scheme of things.
I have to look at this way. If Jerry Jones was so unconcerned with what people think, then why would he have this sort of you should have taken your hands off this thing a long time ago. John, he's got this, it seems like, desire to prove to us that he, with his hand in it, he can still win a Super Bowl.
Yep.
And you know, it's almost like a legacy thing with him. Like, he's got to prove it to us. People that don't care about what other people think don't feel that way.
Yep.
Right? People that are owners that don't care, John, decide, you know what? It may be best for me to step aside. There's some better football people that right now I probably need to put in control, and it may end up with a better outcome.
Yep.
But Jerry is so hell-bent on proving it to you, John, that he can be super involved and still win the Super Bowl. That, to me, rings of a man who overly cares maybe about what people think of him. And I don't need to get into the appearance thing. Like I said, I'm picking on him a little bit, but clearly
you're picking on him.
I've just felt like this is a man who has not reached an age, John, where he just doesn't. You know, it's F you to everybody else. Sure, there are those times when you got that kind of money where you can pull that, but I don't get the sense that he's that dude, you know?
What other NFL owner? Now, again, I know there probably wouldn't be an NFL owner giving this press conference, right? But what other NFL owner would say, Zeke who? You know what I'm saying? Like, what other, you know, you're not going to see that. Mark Davis ain't going to say that. You know, who owns the Bears?
McCaskey, Virginia.
Yeah. McCaskey's not going to come out and say, you know, Mitch who? You know, like, it's just Jerry Jones is all – he is a host unto himself.
Well, if she comes out, she's going to be like, Ezekiel who? Because she's very old, John.
Okay, I'm not very –
You're not familiar with our ownership group.
Your owner's a woman.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure. Good look up Virginia McCaskey, brother. I'm pretty sure she's still running that thing.
I did not know that.
Brad, are you you're familiar with the McCaskeys, are you not?
Yeah, absolutely.
Virginia's up there in age, John. She's like the woman on the Titanic.
She's George Halas's daughter.
Mm-hmm. When she's telling the woman at the beginning of the Titanic when she starts? That's Virginia.
Nah, dude, I think Virginia's even older than that. She is 96. Oh. She's even got Calkins' parents beat.
That's what I'm saying. So she would have absolutely said, Ezekiel who?
Titanic.
That's the other owner.
She would have been.
Let me tell you a story.
She would have like sincerely been asking.
Absolutely, she would have.
Could you speak up? Who?
Could you speak up for me?
Who? Zachariah.
I'm gonna stop because I love her to death.
Zachariah.
She look. Our whole thing was, are you gonna spend, McCaskey? Is you ever gonna spend? Well, we've done that. We went out and got Khalil Mack. We gave him the money. Virginia ready to take us to the Super Bowl.
It's amazing that Virginia, a 96-year-old woman, has built one of the best defenses of all time.
Isn't it?
I mean,
she said, go get Mack. I don't care what it cost us.
Well, I thought she was the one brokering the deal. Is she not brokering the deal?
No, you got to figure
it
out.
She ain't on the phone with Mark Davis?
Yeah, she's got her presidents and all that, I think, doing the calls and stuff, John. Okay. She just in the bed making the calls.
She's at the nursing home
call? She ain't in no nursing home. I promise you that. She is worth $2.4 billion.
She got the whole hospital at her house.
Yeah. Now, the nursing home comes to Mama Bear, mm-hmm. and I think is what she's referred to lovingly.
Love Virginia.
Mama Bear, yes.
Love what she's done for us.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Ezekiel, who? Who's our running back? Leather helmets? All right, we will come back. Jason Fitz will join us. We will talk to him about the Antonio Brown situation, some college football, and more. That's up next. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Hey, what's going on? It's Jason and John from 92.9 FM, ESPN. Join us as we host the 2019 92.9 Madden Tournament at the Rec Room at 6:30 on Friday, August 23rd. We're going to have lots of beer specials and food, and you're going to get a chance to watch Jason run the Smash Mouth offense.
That's right. I'm coming out of retirement, the number 24 seed in the tournament, and do not underestimate me. I plan to advance to the finals, as a matter of fact.
Come party with us on Friday at the Rec Room. The Madden Tournament is Friday at 6:30.
Come on out
with us at 92.9 FM, ESPN.
At Advance Financial, we love the word any. Free money orders, any number, any amount, anytime. Western Union, send and receive any amount, anywhere, anytime. Check cashing, any amount, anytime. Free bill pay, including all local utilities, electric, water, cable, phone, anytime. Prepaid debit card, load money, anytime. And, oh yeah, get a loan, anytime. Visit one of our 24/7 locations and get the cash and anything else you need today. Advance Financial, welcome.
Down home, the best things in life are almost free. The almost free deal at Church's. One leg, one thigh, plus a honey butter biscuit. Just $1.99 for a limited time. Church's, bringing that down home flavor.
Offer valid at participating locations.
Ready for a change? Join the club. At LA Fitness, we believe showing up is all the initiation you need. Come in and try it out for 5 days on us. Find your nearest location and get a guest pass for you and a friend at LAFitnessMemphis.com.
High temperatures and humidity levels have your air conditioner working overtime. And we're working overtime, too, here at Landmark Heating and Air Conditioning to help you stay comfortable this summer. Whether your air conditioner needs routine cleaning, an emergency repair, or you're interested in saving money with a new, higher-efficiency cooling system, Landmark Heating and Air Conditioning is the comfort company Memphians have trusted since 1970 for all their home or business comfort system needs. Call us today at 365-4260 or visit us at landmarkheatingandair.com.
As a small business owner, when was the last time you considered switching internet providers?
I don't even remember. Running a business keeps me pretty busy.
Let's compare your current provider to Comcast Business. Are you getting fast, reliable internet?
Sometimes.
How about a full suite of innovative services like separate Wi-Fi networks, 4G wireless backup, and advanced voice solutions?
I highly doubt it.
Sounds like Comcast Business could give you more. Make the switch to the nation's largest gig speed network now and get an amazing deal. Right now, get fast 75 megabit internet for $49.95 per month for 2 years when you add two voice mobility lines and sign up for paperless billing and auto pay. Call 1-800-501-6000 today. Comcast Business. Beyond fast.
Monthly service charge increases by $10 without paperless billing and auto pay. Offer ends 8/21/19. Restrictions apply. New business customers only. 2-year agreement required. Early termination fee applies. Equipment taxes and fees extra subject to change. Backup limited to up to 8 hours.
Indulge in traditional Southern favorites with today's Perks deal. Half off lunch and dinner at Pop's Comfort Kitchen. You'll feel at home when you walk in the door. Get yours today.
Yeah.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Twin in that 08 apartment 4, I remember. We were trapping in and out the dope, I remember. Miss Shirley House breaking down the things. I remember. I used to serve my partner mama. She's a crack fiend. I remember.
Got college football this weekend. Lots to get to in the NFL. Jason Fitz joins us every single Monday. He joins us now. Let's get it.
It's ESPN's Jason Fitz. And hear him now live with Jason and John.
Fitz, what's going on, man?
Just living that dream. We are finally in the time where we can be talking about at least one level of real football, and then we'll see where it goes from there.
Oh, don't worry. We've been talking about the other kind of football, too, thanks to Antonio Brown. He's kept it. He's kept,
oh, of course.
He's kept it spicy.
It's unbelievable.
Can you recall? I mean, I know it's happened before, right? But can you recall, I mean, a GM coming out like this about a player that hasn't played one single game? I mean, that was a pretty strong, you know, ultimatum, it felt like, from Mayock there.
Yeah, it's a huge ultimatum from Mayock. And look, it's not just that he said it, which was already staggering enough. It's that he said it, they filmed it, and the Raiders, as an official tweet, decided to put it out from their organization. That is a statement, because, you know, as much as you can say something at the podium, when you circle up with a bunch of reporters, and I think it was The Athletic that pointed out, they shot it in a way that made you feel like you were right there with the beat writers, and they put it out from their official Twitter account. Mm-hmm. That is the team coming out making a bold statement that says, hey, we're tired of it. And I don't blame them, because the helmet conversation in a world where health and safety is supposed to matter, if he believes that it's a health and safety issue, who am I to question that? But if you're the organization at some point, you got to turn around and say, man, we've done everything you've asked us to do, and now it's hurting us, and we're not going to let you hurt us. That's ultimately what the Raiders have to come out and say. And, you know, it's sort of a reminder that Hard Knocks, which I've now nicknamed Soft Knocks because they showed us nothing about this last week.
I agree.
It's a reminder that this is real and this is a distraction, and it's something the Raiders are having to deal with.
Yeah, I agree with you. I do think that is a good point. And to the Hard Knocks thing, we were talking about it just before we had you on. My contention is because they teased the grievance at the end of the second episode. So the hope would be that, you know, since it's between the Raiders, because it's between Antonio Brown and the NFL and not between Antonio Brown and the Raiders, that maybe we get a little bit more of it. But my contention was that if this third episode of Hard Knocks is not one of the greatest episodes of all time in Hard Knocks history, then why would you watch the series ever again? Because when will they have material as good as the material they have right now?
Well, and you're being more lenient than I am, because ultimately what we've learned in the process of Hard Knocks is that once we hit 2 o'clock on the day of the airing, it's really difficult for them to get anything else in. So you're talking they can edit all the way to day of. You want me to believe that not a single player, not a single coach, had anything to say about Antonio Brown not
right.
being there for one of the weirdest
right.
reasons we've ever heard?
Yep.
And in fact, the producer of Hard Knocks went to, you know, he talked to Peter Schrager over at the NFL Network, and Schrager asked him about it, and his retort was essentially, I know what you guys talk about on morning radio, but that's not real to what they're talking about in camp. They're not worried about something going on thousands of miles away. They're worried about the guys they have in camp, and it just hasn't been a conversation. I don't buy it. So we're supposed to believe it went from no conversation to Mayock going out and holding his own scrum, essentially, to make a bold statement? No. No, Hard Knocks has lost their opportunity to have any legitimacy in my mind. And at this point, you're more lenient than I am. Whatever we get tonight is just going to be makeup for what they didn't show us last week.
Well, yeah, I do agree with that. Last one on the Raiders. We had on Channing Crowder last week, who said, you know, listen, you're going to get the high maintenance guy, you know, Monday through Saturday, but you're going to get, you know, the prime, the future Hall of Fame, one of the greatest wide receivers in the game on Sunday. Do you think that we're at a point where that can be tenable for the franchise, you know, as long as Antonio Brown is still himself on Sunday?
No. And, you know, ultimately, I don't disagree with the assessment. We will get the best of Antonio Brown. But there are guys in that secondary for Oakland that need to practice against people like Antonio Brown. And there's a quarterback in Oakland, and Derek Carr, that isn't a Hall of Fame-worthy quarterback. He's not playing with Ben Roethlisberger. So what's he going to do when he only needs to show up and be all of himself one day a week to get those great results? But the talent around him needs more than that. He's going to get frustrated, and then it's going to show on game day. I don't think that that's really viable. This isn't as talented a football team as he's been on in the past. They need all of the work they can get Monday through Saturday to perform on Saturday or to perform on Sunday. If he's not willing to be a part of that in a constructive way, I don't see how the Raiders can actually salvage their season. He can have a great personal season, but they won't have a great season.
Hey, Fitzy, I've just noticed, and particularly because I'm a Bears fan, but you've seen it all over the league, that the coaches are sitting their starters in these preseason games and not even bothering to put them out there. Do you think we can ever get to a point where, you know, maybe this message gets to the, you know, gets to ownership? I know it's about the money, and that's why you continue to have so many preseason games. But if they keep running twos and threes and fours out there, right, rather than ones in game two, I mean, the Bears didn't play any starters in their second game. Do you think we can get to a point where maybe the fans don't want to see these two threes and fours, and we can actually shorten this thing up in terms of the preseason?
I think we're gonna have to, because look at the Rams. The Rams went to Hawaii without – they didn't even take their starters.
Yep.
And then left most of their key backups at home too.
Yep.
I mean, you know, at this point, and some of the teams that play their starters now in week two, they're saying aren't going to play their starters at all in week three. So,
right.
You know, and then you've got Avery Williamson for the Jets, who's was supposed to be a contributor this year, hurting his knee late in the second quarter. And Adam Gase coming out and saying, my fault, I played him too long, shouldn't have played him that long. I mean, that's a bad look. And
agreed.
They can find innovative ways. They can't fill a stadium, and that's lost revenue. So the owner's going to have to get money back somewhere. From, you know, remember, for anybody that says preseason games aren't sold out, they're sold as part of the season ticket package.
Mm-hmm.
You have to buy tickets to 10 games. So, you know, those tickets are sold, so the teams are making money. They've got to find a replacement for that money. But I genuinely believe that in today's all-access world, giving us all-access views of, you know, scrimmages and practices against other teams. I mean, if we lived in a world where suddenly, you know, the Bears and Chiefs were going to be practicing against each other for a week, you can turn that into content people will view and people will absorb and take something away from. That can still give the teams a chance to get better. I think we need to see more of that. We need to see less preseason. If the coaches don't give a darn about it, why should we?
Thank you.
Yep.
Couldn't agree more.
We are, of course, talking to Jason Fitz. He joins us every single Monday here on the show. You can hear him on Golic and Wingo every morning on 92.9 FM ESPN. Were you getting into it with Titan fans over the weekend? Like, what happened? Why are you and Titans fans at odds?
Oh, we're going at it because, look, Diana Rossini, who is an ESPN NFL reporter,
mm-hmm.
she reported that Ryan Tannehill and Marcus Mariota are in an open competition for the job.
Yeah.
I've heard it. Not the first time. Field Yates said a couple of months ago, look, I think Ryan Tannehill's going to win this job. I mean, you've got people around the campus at ESPN saying this is an open competition. And Titans fans have taken that as some slap in the face. And I kept seeing people tweet at Diana saying, you know, this is just clickbait. And you know, I went back to her defense for one reason. Look, local and national disagrees with this. I know a lot of guys are out of practice every day in Nashville. I talk to them every couple of days. They all say that there isn't really an open competition for the job. But when you're an insider, your job is to talk to your sources and then report on what your sources say. It's not your job to go to every single practice. So obviously she's being told by somebody that it's an open competition. Now, maybe it's coaches telling her that because they want Marcus to step up. Maybe it's a message coming from somebody because they want it out there to fuel this fire. I don't know. But ultimately, to sit there and think that it's clickbait for the team that, according to metrics, has the second worst social media engagement numbers in all of the NFL, like, this isn't clickbait. This is just difference in reporting. The fact is, everybody's worked up over Marcus Mariota. Let's acknowledge the fact that even if he wins the job, he's the third best quarterback in his division. So congratulations. You don't have a quarterback competition for the third best quarterback in your division. I don't know that that's something you clink the champagne bottles for.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I agree with you 100% on this. And it doesn't help the situation that Tannehill has looked good, you know, through these two preseason games. Now, I won't say that Tannehill outplayed Mariota against the Patriots. It was pretty even, and Mariota obviously is going against the first team. But Tannehill looked good, and I will say that Tannehill outplayed him in week one. So I don't think this is a situation where we'll see Tannehill in week one, but I do think that what this really just continues to underline is that there is so much uncertainty about Mariota's ability to do the job permanently for the Titans, and we're just reminded of that week after week.
Absolutely. And look, you're right. Tannehill played better in week one. Mariota had the big two-point conversion everybody keeps talking about in week two. I've talked to some guys that covered Tannehill when he was in Miami. One of the consensus opinions on him is that in practice, he looks great. You know, there are some quarterbacks like Baker Mayfield that are sort of notorious for not being the best looking in practice, and then in game mode, they turn it on. Tannehill's a practicer. He looks great in practice. So coaches fall in love with him. And maybe that's part of it.
Right.
But ultimately, if you have your franchise quarterback, if you've got your guy, then Ryan Tannehill shouldn't even be a blimp on the radar.
Yep.
Like, we shouldn't even be talking about his name if we knew that Marcus Mariota could do the job. We don't, and I don't know that he can. I don't know that we're going to see anything this year that proves otherwise. I mean, ultimately, for Titans fans, the most frustrating part of this is you got to look in the mirror and acknowledge that you're now in Andy Dalton land. You now know what it feels like to have an okay quarterback that may not be all that good. He may be pretty good, just sort of depends on the year, and you're going to have to decide if you want to overpay him. I don't think that's a great spot to be in.
Would, let me ask you this, Fitz. Would Jerry Jones joke like he did? I know, you know, he was asked if Tony Pollard, the guy who's now, he's from Memphis, obviously, the running back from Memphis, is shining kind of in place for Ezekiel while he's holding out. He kind of joked about it and said, Zeke who? My feeling is that he wouldn't joke around if there was any feeling of real imminent danger with the thing falling through. You feel like he's, you know what I mean? You wouldn't be in a joking mood if you thought you were on the brink of maybe not being able to sign one or two of these guys. Just the fact that he's being willing to joke, do you think it's close that he eventually gets this done? You have to if you're him, right?
Yeah, and I also think that, you know, at some point you got to look at the body of work for a lifetime. Like, there are certain owners that if they said Zeke who, it might go the wrong way. Certain GMs that if they said it, it'd be seen the wrong way. You're talking about Jerry Jones. You're talking about somebody that notoriously will pay whatever it takes to keep the best of the best from the Cowboys there. Zeke knows that. Jerry knows that. Everybody knows that. So when he says Zeke who, I think it really has to be read as a joke, and it has to be read with a reminder that, hey, Jerry Jones has a relationship with his players where his players will laugh that off. And if there were behind-the-scenes cameras this year with the Cowboys, we would see Zeke and Jerry laugh about that the first day he's in camp.
Yep. Tennessee football. I've got to ask you this while they're down, because we're in Memphis. And if I told you that the Tigers, the Memphis Tigers football program, not basketball, the highest-ranked college football program in the state of Tennessee, that's AP and coaches poll, should Vol fans feel a little ashamed about that?
Yeah, 100%. You know, because the biggest thing you have to look at when you look at college programs are what's there to put that program into a situation of success. And when you talk about facilities, stadium, fans,
got it all,
money
right,
being spent,
yep,
the Vols have it all. And, look, they haven't been able to put it together for a very long time. I understand that. They're still in a recruiting hotbed. They still have the alumni that will spend whatever it takes.
Yep.
They still have the atmosphere, the environment. They have all of the advantages, and they just keep blowing it. Let's acknowledge they're one Tom Herman-esque hire away from, you know, putting themselves back into a national conversation at any point, because they have the resources to do it.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that they haven't found their Tom Herman, whoever that is, whatever that means, is an embarrassment to Knoxville, man. Like, taking nothing away from Memphis, Memphis should not be on the same plane as the Vols. The money shouldn't allow that to happen in college football specifically. More so than college basketball, you got to have the dollars to spend to compete at the highest level. The Vols have that. So the fact that they haven't found their guy, it's not only, you know, sort of able to change them on the recruiting trail, but also sort of change the perspective. They haven't been able to find, for lack of a better word, their penny, right? Like, their guy that comes in and just suddenly makes them relevant.
Yeah.
Man, that's an embarrassment to the university. And fans right now have to look around and realize we're talking about the resurgence of Florida again, and we're talking about Georgia
again.
We're not talking about the Vols. And that's a shame for a great football community.
Well, it's funny you bring up penny, because – I feel like they have their penny. It's just he's the athletic director and not the coach.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Well, and, you know, I think there was a moment, too, where they had to look around and hope that T. Martin was going to be, you know, their – I've got to look at somebody like T. as, okay, I won a national championship here. Mm-hmm. I have streets named after me in this city. I'm going to bring the Vols back to this, like, moment of greatness. But the difference is we've seen T. bounce around as an offensive coordinator and be at other schools, and it's just not as – it's not as special. It doesn't feel, you know, the Vol for Life thing that we hear all the time.
Yep.
Who really feels like Vol for Life is ingrained in their blood anymore other than fans? And until they find that Vol for Life guy that will come back and coach, you're right, not be athletic director, not be a figurehead for the university, but come back and actually be the one that's getting kids on the sidelines pumped. Until we see that, man, I don't know where the hope comes from.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Fitz, you're the best, man.
Love your stuff,
always
brother.
Appreciate the time.
Have a great week, boys. I'm sure we'll be talking about Antonio Brown.
Man.
I hope not. I hope this is the last time we talk about him, unless he puts up 300 yards.
I would agree with that, boys. Have a great week.
Yep, thanks, Fitz. He is Jason Fitz. You can hear him every morning on Golic and Wiggly. Dude, I'm tired of talking about Antonio Brown's helmet. Dude, it's ridiculous. You know? This is the dumbest story ever. But, yeah, you can't not talk about it. But, yeah, it is interesting that he brought up Penny. You know, Phil Fulmer was kind of, you know, run off right at the end of his tenure there. And he comes back, you know, heroically
right.
as the athletic director, much the same way Penny heroically stepped in to save the Memphis basketball program. But it's, you know, I think we take for granted the job that Memphis has done finding coaches. Because just look at Tennessee. Just look at how hard they have found
it. They've got all the resources. Exactly.
You know? I mean, they would kill to have Mike Norvell over there. Mm-hmm. Now, I know, like, now they'll say Jeremy Pruitt's got the thing going in the right
direction. Well, and I think I believe that, don't you?
I don't know.
I mean, because at some point, don't you have to hit on something after you've been through a few and you've blown it like they have?
I don't know, though. I mean, you could blow it 15 times in a row. You know, it's possible.
Yeah,
but unlikely, but you could.
Well, I do feel like, and I've been going back and forth with a Vols fan about talking about how Memphis is ranked higher than them right now. He's saying, oh, it'd be a great game this year and all that, and saying they would likely win. I'm not going as far as Tennessee would likely win. I think Tennessee is on the way back up, but I'm with Fitz. In no year ever should Tennessee be behind Memphis in college football. We're talking about one of the program with most resources in the country.
Yeah.
Forget college. So it's never acceptable. And I thought, John, before Tennessee gets back up from its hibernation, we should celebrate the day that is Memphis having the best college football program in the state.
Absolutely.
That's right now, today.
I agree. Yeah. When we come back, Jason Smith, my partner, had his first experience with Texas Hold'em.
This may be a little bit more entertaining to you than to others. You just giddy about poker.
I know. I just think it's funny, like, to hear you describe. I mean, the way you describe it in the text thread is worth your time. It is hilarious. So maybe Jason will break his experience down when we come back. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The Gary Parrish Show.
There are some people who grew up going to games, and so it's just habit. But young people have grown up with HDTVs, with the ability to watch a whole bunch of stuff at the same time. Young people are growing up with the ability to gamble on sports on their phone. And you combine all of this stuff, and it's young people that it's especially difficult to get into the stadiums. And the problem, of course, if you can't get young people / students into the stadiums, who's going to be in the stadium 20 years from now?
Weekdays 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Until she went to Triumph Bank the other day, Naya had never set foot in a bank. Naya just graduated from Freedom Prep. She's been a big part of the inner city rugby program. Naya started making a little money from her job at Girls Inc., but she didn't even have a checking account. And that's where Triumph Bank stepped in to help. They set Naya up with a checking account and her very first debit card. They showed Naya how easy it is to do their online banking with their mobile app. Not only that, the folks at Triumph decided to work with Inner City Rugby to teach more young people like Naya about financial literacy so they can feel more confident and can start to build brighter financial futures for themselves. Naya is the first of dozens in the program who will benefit from Triumph's personal touch. You can benefit too, of course. Triumph offers that same personal touch to everyone who steps through their doors. So go to their website at triumphbank.com. They're invested in the community and in making banking easy for you.
Get more 92.9. Download the radio.com app now and make sure your favorite 92.9 FM ESPN Memphis.
Hey, this is Felicia from Felicia Suzanne's Restaurant. When was the last time you were downtown for dinner? Why don't you stop by and see us? We're located on Main Street between Madison and Monroe Avenues with parking on Front Street. Stop by happy hour Tuesday through Friday, 5 to 6:30, featuring $2 off all wines by the glass and Memphis beers, plus cocktail specials. Enjoy our small bites like Oysters of Love, House Smoked Salmon Deviled Eggs, and Dollar Raw Oysters. We also offer one of the city's largest bourbon lists. Check us out at FeliciaSuzanne.com.
This is Mike Miller. I'm back close to Platinum Jewelers, the place I've been doing business with for years. Platinum Jewelers does custom design engagement rings, pre-owned Rolexes, wide selection of earrings, right hand rings, pendants, bracelets, and watches. On the web at PlatinumJewelers.com.
Shop where Memphis Tigers assistant coach Mike Miller shops. Visit Platinum Jewelers in their new location at 9387 Poplar Avenue in Germantown, at their East Memphis location at 545 Perkins Extended, or online anytime at PlatinumJewelers.com.
Tuesdays are the worst. They're all that stands between you and the downhill part of the week. But now they're a lot less worse, because Wing Tuesdays at B-Dubs are buy one, get one free traditional wings. So Monday, you may kick off the week. Wednesday, you may have a cool nickname. Thursday, you might be the almost weekend. But watch your back, because Tuesdays just officially became Wing Tuesdays. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
Buy one traditional wings order and get one of equal value free. Participation and promotional details vary by location. Check in with your favorite Buffalo Wild Wings to learn more about this offer.
Jason and John guests appear on the ATC Fitness phone line. ATC Fitness. This is the Jason and John Show, presented by the Wing Guru, only on Memphis' sports station, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
Landers Auto Sales, if you're in the market for a new vehicle, that's exactly where you need to go. They got everything that you could want on the lot. They got small SUVs, large SUVs, compact cars, luxury cars, trucks, vans, sedans. It's all out there waiting on your price. It's starting at just $29.90. No better time than right now to buy a new car. They got the widest selection in the Mid-South, and they got the best team in the Mid-South to help you with the car buying process. They're going to help you with the purchasing, the service, and the accessories for your vehicle. They're located in South Haven on Goodman Road, or you can check them out on the web, LandersMemphis.com. And remember, if it doesn't say Landers, you paid too much. All right, here's the deal. We have these shirts that we're still going to give away on the Facebook page. All you have to do, we've had some great submissions come in, and we're appreciative of that. All you have to do is go like the Facebook page, Jason and John, and we have 7 shirts. They're large and they're extra large. We're going to give them away on the Facebook page. Go like our page and also give us a review. Or you can rock these things at the Ole Miss game in a couple weeks.
Yeah, you'd be styling and profiling.
I guess I was reading on the Tiger Bookstore, like their Facebook page. What they're doing is they're designing a special shirt for every single like game.
Game day.
The Ole Miss special design shirt is the one.
Yeah, so you're definitely gonna want to get this shirt for sure, so you can look good.
It's cool.
At the game, 2 Saturdays from now. All you gotta do is go like the Facebook page
for sure,
and give us a review. Now, Jason, what did you do this weekend?
Met up with y'all keep.
What'd you do this weekend?
Did y'all see me? Like, what the hell is that? Yeah, what am I hearing? That's a little Kenny.
It's a little Kenny.
It's been a long time since I've listened to Kenny. And maybe it's appropriate. I'm not very proud of it because, again, I didn't intend to play. I intended to be a wallflower. I intended to just use it, John, as a time for fellowship. Are you aware of what fellowship is?
Not really.
Fellowship is when I guess it can be a group of women as well, but it's when a group of men get
together. I don't think fellowship is women's.
It's about camaraderie. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And fellowship with folks in the church, and they can be women too.
In theory, throw back a couple of beers, a couple of stogies, some wings.
A friend of mine by the name of Michael Sheffield used to work for the Business Journal. Now, I believe does most of his work for ALSAC. It's a fundraising arm for St. Jude, obviously. Been invite me for weeks over to their monthly poker game.
Yes.
He's a good friend of mine. Back in the day, Michael Sheffield and I were going to blow up. That was our plan. We had a podcast, Brad Carson. This was long before I had any hope of getting a radio.
I remember you talking about it when we had this initial discussion.
Name of it was going to be the Blue Balls Podcast.
Well, hello.
Think about that.
You want to think about that for a second.
Think about, felt like we needed a name that was going to reach out and get you. And, of course, we were going to be talking Grizzlies and Tigers. And I thought it was such a great idea that we got there and we work on it. And we did a couple of shows and went back to the CA. And they said, you won't be doing a podcast. We own you, basically.
Right.
Any talk you'll be doing of Tigers, that's our talk.
Oh,
you understand what
and
I'm saying?
The next day you left for 92.9.
Well, it was unbelievably. I mean, you tell how God works it. I mean, yes, a little bit later, 92.9.
You cannot stifle me.
So I'll get back to the point. Mike Sheffield's been inviting me over, good friend. And so I felt like I had to go, John, the initial plan.
You've been
plan,
ducking these invites for quite some time.
Because I don't play poker.
Right.
Nor, more importantly, do I want to get into a place where I'm gambling regularly. Do you understand
Absolutely.
What I'm saying?
Absolutely.
Because I've watched John, and when he loses at these poker matches, that's when you don't hear from John. Now, when he's winning, we're
right.
hearing all about
yeah,
it.
Dang. He's
but
right,
when
John.
He's losing,
he's
and
right,
I'm texting with John, I'm playing cards.
Yeah.
Like, that's what I get. Like, I'm not poker. I'm playing cards.
Right.
So that's what I know to get out. Don't ask John no more questions for the day.
That's it.
Because he's into his poker. He's probably losing money. I don't want to be that.
Okay.
All right? So I'll finish off the story. Again, I take no cash, nothing over there. Man, nice little spot over there by the University of Memphis where Sheffield lives. And I'm watching. And as I'm watching, I find out these guys, John, they're new to this too for the most part. Okay, it's a good group of dudes. They're new to this too, so they're basically going around. It's like they're doing tutorial hands, all that stuff.
Yep.
So what do I look like, John? The old square deacon, sitting there and just watching.
Mm-hmm.
And I probably should have stuck to my guns and not do it because, John, I got me a little lick. I got me a little taste.
Mm. Yeah.
Of winning one of those pots.
Yeah.
I did it with 4 twos. Now, I think you would call that quads.
Quads.
Right.
Quads. You had quads. Your first time playing poker ever.
4 twos. And, man, I could tell. Because, see, early on, I mean, I'm no Earl Barron. I was showing. You could see in my face. You could see in my face that when I had bad hands, I dropped my head. And I know
this
better.
This dude would drop his head when he had a bad hand.
Quite a poker player there.
Again, I know better. I've heard the term poker face, but again, your first time in it,
dude,
I'm looking at what I got in the pockets. It's some garbage, and I just kind of smack it down and drop my head. And I realized it was a tell, right, John? I was telling everybody.
You might as well just turn face.
Well, that's how I got him with the 4 twos, John, because I played it different that time.
Decoy.
I played it, dropped my head, but then, you know, act like I got nothing, but then I kept throwing money out there, and eventually I got the pot.
Those
4 twos, that was one of them.
That's what, you know what's funny? Is that the first time I ever had quads, I had pocket twos. So our first quads were both pocket twos.
I mean, you feel like that. I feel like you think this is some kind of key that we can unlock, and now all of a sudden we're going to have a poker segment. No. And I feel like I'm about to have to let you down because I don't want it to get to that. I had fun, John, fellowshipping with these brothers and getting a little taste of that pot. But what I don't want to do, brother, is being in some situation where I'm putting $100 or $500 and all this. This was like $20 to get in. You're done. Winner takes the whole thing.
Yep,
and I think second place kept their little
info. Friendly.
So it was
very
friendly.
Yeah, I think that's the best part of
no
it.
No rebuys? No rebuys at all?
What, rebuys? What's that?
Well,
what's
when
a rebuy?
You bust, you buy back in.
Oh, no. We didn't do any of that.
Okay.
When you busted, you were busted, and the guys went over and watched the Rams. Because, again, this ain't super serious. And I'm probably giving away too much on this on our private. Here, clearly high-stakes poker game here. Michael might not like me putting all this information, but I had a good time, John. And again, I would underline it with most of it sort of based in the fellowship of it. So I'm glad I went, glad I got a taste. What I don't want is to like it too much, want the whole turkey, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, you don't need to like it too much.
I had a good experience. I had many questions, you know. This guy at the end, I had two kings and two eights.
So
I went all in, baby.
You had two pair.
I pushed all my chips in. I said, this is the one going to get me back. Because again, my stack had gone from nothing to I'd built back up with those 4 twos.
Yeah.
So I decided I was going to push my luck, man. And dude had all spades.
He had a flush.
What? Not even in a right number. Right, it's just if you got all of one.
No. It's
you
just
got all of
flush doesn't have to be in order.
It doesn't have
straight
to be.
Straight has to be in order.
And what's in order? That's a
straight.
That's a straight.
Yeah. But a flush beats a straight. A straight flush is one of the best possible hands you could have.
See, this is where you're going to sit here and try to impress us all with
your poker
knowledge.
No, I'm not trying to impress. I'm just telling. This is basic
just telling
stuff.
A little story.
This is just the order of the hands.
That's when I don't want to get into a poker conversation too deep with you because you're the expert. Let me tell you. Let me break it down. I prefer to be in that position, John,
this
show.
I think that's what's endearing about this segment is that you literally would hang your head when you didn't like your hand.
Well, again, I'm coming from a spades background.
Right.
And I know I need to have a poker face, but in my first few steps into the poker world,
yes,
I was showing a little bit too emotional,
and that was
on my sleeve.
That was your again.
But I was able to turn that against them later on, with the 4 twos.
It was a very calculated move, strategically.
Yeah. Had a great time with those gentlemen.
But your biggest lesson was to not sort of let your emotion be seen, whether you like your hand or not, because that works both ways too. Like if you look at your hand, and then you perk up. You know, that's another tell as well.
Mm-hmm.
Was that your biggest lesson?
No, my biggest lesson was get my coke away from the computer table. You understand? I got yelled at for that because of the little sweat coming off the coke. That was my biggest lesson, John. No, John, I'm not, again, you're asking me biggest lessons like this is going to go on and on.
Oh, it's not going to go on?
And my interest level is going to grow in poker. Me and you pretty down are going to be down at the casinos having a big poker day. Why don't we just do a great tournament and invite all of Memphis down there?
Yeah.
Just throw all our money into it, huh?
Yeah. Oh.
No.
Oh,
no.
Brad loves it. We'll get it sponsored by Horseshoe or something.
Let's do it.
We can have a 92.9 poker tournament.
I got it. We'll have Jason and John's fellowship and poker night.
Yeah, there you go. $20 buy-in. We have like 8 tables. How about that? You
like Christian poker tournament.
Can we have a Christian one where we just play for the fun?
No,
and then
nobody wants to do that.
For just the fun and the fellowship, brother. Where? Brother can't fellowship?
You can.
A brother got to spin.
Hey, if you win the money, you can give it to anybody you want. You can give it to God.
I'm going to give it to. Yeah, we'll do it to charity if that's what we're doing.
But we're not going to have a Christian poker tournament where we're playing for fun. Nobody does that.
You can have Christians in it.
Yeah, absolutely. There are God-loving people who play poker all the time.
Yeah.
There are God-fearing, God-loving people who play poker all the time. But we can't play for nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So we'll have a 99 poker tournament, $20 buy-in, and then it's up to you how you want to spend that money. You can give it to Jason. You can give it to your church, to God. I don't give a damn who you give it to.
Come on, bro. Don't put God and damn in the same sentence.
Okay. I don't give a darn who you give it to. But I think this would be good. Listen, if Jason hangs his head, he's got pocket kings.
I'm playing for G-O-D, so you better not come down there and lose some money because it's going straight into the plate.
See? That's a great thing.
Yeah.
You're a great person. You know what we need to do? Here's what we got to do. We need to raise $10,000 so that we can put you in the main event next year in Vegas.
No. What?
Yes.
That's
what we need to do.
Awful. It'd be awful.
Why?
Because, I'd make a dumb decision. People would be quiet. Look, you'd lose all your credibility.
No, you get on
TV. Even people know you're not playing.
You get on TV, and you'd hang your head, and you'd have the nuts.
I don't want to see the deacon out there. Pastor would see that. I'd be out of the church. Lose my deaconship.
Okay, all right. We don't want you to do that.
No.
But I'm glad you had a good time this weekend. It was a very...
I have to say, I texted John as soon as I was done, and I told him I was pleasantly surprised with the fun I had. Again, I intended to go over there, be a wallflower, just kind of watch, hang out, so I couldn't be accused. Man, I keep inviting you. You don't keep coming. No, brother, I do want to come. I do want a fellowship. I just don't want to get into gambling. Love Michael Sheffield. Loved having him over there.
Yes.
My point is, I don't want to get addicted.
There you go. All right. When we come back,
I appreciate you putting up with
it. Lots to get to in the run. We're past the rundown. Lots to get to in the next segment. The NBA rookie survey is out. Also, the Grizzlies have allowed Dwight Howard to speak.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.